And good morning once again, everyone. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock here at Regional Radio. Quick and time for the Breakfast Club on this Monday, the 11th day of March. If you haven't looked at the weather forecast yet, it is going to be a nice day to get outside and enjoy a little bit of outdoor time. Maybe eat your lunch outside. It's supposed to get right at 50 degrees today. Very light winds out of the east-southeast. Compared to what we've had, that is going to be downright gorgeous. Another thing that is gorgeous is tulip time up in the Pella, Iowa area as the festival is getting ready to go on again here early in May. And with an opportunity to take advantage of all the neat stuff going on up there, a trip being planned by our friends over at the St. Joseph Museums. And here to talk about such things is our good friend Kathy Reno. Kathy, once again, thank you so much for taking time out to visit with us here on The Breakfast Club.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you on talking about all the going-ons over there at the St. Joe Museums. And this is one of the cool trips you guys have. It's not a very long trip as far as travel distance, just up to Pella, Iowa up there, our neighbors to the north. But you kind of travel back in time when you go on this trip.
You do, because we're going to start out in the Amana colonies this year. We're going to start out at the Roenberg restaurant with the traditional German lunch. And I love this place because they use the original German communal kitchen. It used to be the kitchen, so that's where we'll start. And a lovely historian will come, I've met her before, and kind of tell us how the Amana colonies got started. Why are they there? How'd that culture develop? Those kinds of things. And I'm looking forward to hearing her again because I learn something new every time.
And that is neat. As we both know, we're history buffs of sorts. It's neat like this when you can kind of, like you said, the communal kitchen and the way things were. It's kind of neat to be able to step back in time, so to speak, and see how that stuff was done.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, there's the shops. We're going to allow people time to shop because I've learned the hard way. If you don't do that, they get very upset. So, and that's part of the beauty of the Amana colonies. And I try not to do the trip exactly the same each year. So they'll have time to explore the village, which is over 100 years old. And, of course, they have everything there from antiques to shops that make all kinds of handcrafted items and that kind of thing. And art now. Art has joined the parade of different things you can see.
And obviously, that is pretty important to the folks as well as the shopping, and that's going to be a pretty cool day right there. And then, of course, the Tulip Festival, of course, going on, and man, you talk about beautiful Pella, Iowa, and that area during tulip time is something to behold.
Well, it's their 84th year, so from the Amana colonies, where we'll have our lunch and kind of spend the afternoon, we'll go on into Pella, Iowa that evening, because tulip time starts the next day. And we stay at my favorite hotel. It's the Mullingot. It's right on the Mullingot Canal, which is a man-made canal. And what they've done is form their city to look like the village they came from, which is amazing. And we'll stay at the Royal Amsterdam Hotel, which is right there on the square, so that if people want to, if they want to walk outside our hotel and kind of walk around and see things on their own, they don't have far to go. They can just walk it. And that's always fun. We're going to do something completely new this year. For dinner that evening, we're going to go to the college in Pella, Iowa. And the duchesses, the Dutch dancers, are going to perform while we have a traditional Dutch dinner.
Oh, that should be pretty cool to see. And really, I say, you know, it's tulip time, but boy, there's a lot of Dutch history, Dutch tradition going on at the same time. It's not just walking around looking at flowers. As you mentioned, the dancers, there's all kinds of things going on during this day.
There are, and that's one of the reasons why I thought having the duchesses perform during a kind of a dinner theater type of a thing was a great idea, because it'll save them time the next day because they're going to need it. One of my favorite things to do is to go to the Tootle Opera House and see the quilt show. It's amazing. If you're a quilter, it's very big in Amana and Pella, Iowa, both. So the quilt shop is there, but the quilt show is always stunning. I saw a yellow brick road quilt once that I still want. And if that's not your thing, some of the guys on the trip would rather go to the antique farm implement show. Great. There's a 150 booth craft show. And they're different than anything you see here, because I was very impressed by that. One thing nobody should miss is the bakeries of Pella. They are famous for their Dutch letters. But to be honest with you, I've never tried a baked good there that wasn't to die for. It's wonderful. They make something I can't pronounce. Well, they make several things I can't pronounce, but it's all delicious.
Yeah, I was looking, as you were talking, I was kind of reading through some of the itinerary and got to some of those specialties, and I don't even want to offer a chance at some of those things. There's way too many vowels in a row right there for me to try to pronounce any of that. So.
Me too, exactly, but there's one that I think I can get fairly close, and it's Stupen Waffles.
Hey,
I'm sure I'm butchering that to a certain degree, but it's this waffle type of thing, but it's covered in their own kind of strawberry whipped cream. It's a certain way that they do it that has just a different flavor. And one of my the most fun people travel with us, this one, they're too big for one person. So one gentleman on our trip bought one, cut it up in pieces, got himself a handful of plastic forks. And as we're checking into the hotel, he's giving everybody a forkful. It was hilarious and delicious. And that way we didn't all have to try and eat this big thing all by ourselves.
That's awesome. And that's the way it should be. Get a little bit in there for everybody. Now, as I'm looking through this, one of the things that kind of jumped out at me here is we're going on all this Dutch and German type history. And then all of a sudden thrown in there, the childhood home of pretty famous American and Wyatt Earp is up there.
It is. On the day of the festival, we can have breakfast there at the hotel, then people are free to strike out on their own. And one of the things they can do is tour the historical village. What they've done in Pella is recreate, of course, Wyatt Earp's house was already there. He lived there. It is his childhood home. They can explore that as part of the historical village. And the village shows you how the early shops looked, how they made the shoes, how they cooked. All of it. I did try wooden shoes. There is a wooden shoe shop. But they will show you how they make them, which is fascinating. And then you can see if like me, you get carried away in the enthusiasm and think you're going to wear a pair, you can do that. I found out quickly that I didn't know what the locals knew. I tried them on because I'm so excited, and I find out they're very hard to wear. I said, "How do you do this?" Because I see them walking in them. And they go, "Well, you got to put on 5 or 6 pairs of socks first." Little tidbit that only the locals knew and I did not. So, and they've created, they have piece by piece recreated the flour mill that would have been in the original country that they came from. And it's the largest in North America. And you can tour that top to bottom. What I love to do is just go ahead and do the square. I do the craft show and then pick the flour show. The flower show is spectacular. And then what we'll have first thing in the morning is a driving tour of Pella for about an hour with a historian that'll take us all over and explain how the Schulte family came to establish Pella, what the name means, where people lived, the oldest homes in the area. It's a fascinating full day. We won't leave Pella till 5:30 that evening, and by then everybody will be ready to doze on the motor coach and head for home.
And that's what it's all about, is leaving all your energy there in Pella and enjoying a couple days.
Will.
That sounds like it, yeah, because there's tons of stuff going on. Let's talk details of this thing. As you said, it's a luxury motor coach and all that jazz. Give us the details on when we're leaving, cost, all that kind of good stuff.
Well, we're leaving early in the morning, 7:30 on May 1st. We'll be back in St. Joseph, Missouri by 10 p.m. on May the 2nd. So it's a two-day, one night, two very full days, but we've tried to pace it. Our trips are all-inclusive, meaning just wear your comfortable shoes and bring your mad money if you think you might shop. Everything else is included. It's $250 for the public, $235 for museum members, but that's your door-to-door service. Double occupancy hotel accommodations at the Royal Amsterdam Hotel, your meals, snacks, step-on guide service, admission fees. We've taken care of all of that. Just get ready to have fun and be surprised by, if you think the Midwest has nothing new to show you, and that's what I thought before I first went to Pella, you will find out you were completely wrong. The food, the color, the costumes, it's like nothing you see here.
And that's what's coolest about it. It really is kind of,
oh, yeah,
quote-unquote, in our backyard, just a few hours up the road to up into central Iowa there. But, it, again, feels like you're transported back in time and across the pond, as they would say, over to to the old...
From the architecture to the costumes, it's a different world. The street scrubbers are stunning, too. I mean, I was stunned by that. The streets already look clean to me, but it's like this whole town comes out in their costumes and their wooden shoes, and they do the traditional scrubbing of the streets before the parade begins.
And that's neat. And that actually goes on. In my trip to Germany, you actually see the folks out there cleaning the street. I was like, well, that's wild to me. You wouldn't see that in America.
Yeah,
that's
very.
Sure.
And I thought the huge tubs of water for if your dog wanted to drink. And that has nothing to do with it. That's the water they fill their buckets with to scrub the streets. I mean, I knew nothing when I first went.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat experience. That is awesome. Kathy, how do folks get involved here? Like last year, as you were saying, there was a waiting list on this thing to hoping people dropped out. It's pretty popular. How do folks get involved and get signed up?
They can actually call the St. Joseph Museum. Just call us at the St. Joseph Museum or type Google stjosephmuseum.org. And you can actually register and pay online if you want to. You've got two or three ways. So it's easy. Just contact us or go online in our website and sign up. You can do that. You can break the fee down into make a deposit, and then your final payment's not due till April 1st. Whatever is comfortable for the person.
And, of course, we do need reservations by April 5th, so you got a couple weeks here, 3 weeks or so to get everything done. StJosephMuseum.org/events. The phone number over there, if you want to just give them a call, is 816-232-8471. This could be a really, really cool trip. If you're interested at all, certainly get a hold of Kathy and the gang over there at the museums and get your details and get your spot reserved, because that's going to be pretty cool coming up there on May 1st. Now, not to skip backwards, but you guys have a pretty cool event coming up here, I guess, this week, this Lost Civilizations of Kansas deal. Tell us a little bit about what this thing is, because you think Lost Civilizations, you think, you know, you're going to the Amazon and traipsing through the jungle, but right here in our own backyard once again.
It is, and it's actually been rediscovered. Spanish explorers found the civilization of Etzanoa, and then it was kind of just totally forgotten about, lost, as happens occasionally. And I don't know, maybe some of your listeners have been to the Cahokia Mounds. The Cahokia Mounds are fascinating, too. We put that on a trip on the way to St. Louis. With Etzanoa, they'd been looking for it, trying to rediscover it. And a professor in Kansas said, I think I know. Just by reading the diaries, he thought he knew, because there had been a new translation. And then a high school student, of all things, starts looking at a map. They put their heads together, because the professor is absolutely convinced it's hiding in plain sight, and he was right. It's in Kansas. So we're bringing the historian, actually the director, from the nearby museum. She'll come to our museum. It's this Thursday night at 6, and it's totally free for museum members, and it's only $5 for the public. And they'll do the visuals and the PowerPoint and show you and tell you what they've learned so far, because they're still excavating, and they may be for quite a while. But they think this is the second largest, if not the largest, since the discovery of the Cahokia Mounds. And mind you, it's not necessarily my level, my area of expertise, but I'm fascinated by it for the same reason probably you are. How could you have totally lost this and then you found it again? So I'm interested to hear, you know, a little more detail on how they figured that out.
Well, especially, like you said, since it's kind of hiding in plain sight, sometimes losing things right under our noses is a completely human trait. So that's kind of neat there.
Yeah,
so
this and was... the Spanish say it was huge, that would take you several days to walk it. Of course, back then they would have been walking it. So we're thinking 20,000 people, inhabitants. So, yes, I want to see what they know so far about the life of what things were like and how big this place is, if they can tell us at this point.
So to make sure I have my details right about that, that is a lost Native American civilization that was discovered by the Spanish explorers, correct?
Indeed, yes.
Wow.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, it is indeed. There had been a war between the two groups. And so Spanish explorers were kind of looking at, okay, what is this place like? And what they discovered was amazing. And then, of course, things were built over and changed, and over time, everybody just forgot about it.
That is fascinating. I love stuff like that. That is really neat. And I think maybe even more fascinating, and really that's how science is it's not always the guy in the lab or something of that nature discovering things. Like you said, this is a museum person and a high school student who came together, put their heads together, and figured this thing out. We've had, you know, comets discovered by regular Joes and things like that. Science is all-inclusive. It's pretty neat how that kind of stuff works out sometimes.
It does, and they confirmed they were right because they found an old, like a cannonball that was Spanish, and they knew we've got to be getting close, and I think that is fascinating too. So I'm anxious to hear, okay, this is how you put the diary and the records together with a map of the time period. Then you go out and you do an archaeological dig to see if you're anywhere in the vicinity. And I can only imagine how excited you must be when you find out you're right.
Oh, that's got to be just one of the most amazing feelings ever for anybody. That is really, really
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Oh, man, I might have to make a trip over on Thursday. That's coming up this Thursday, 6 o'clock, correct?
It is, and it's just $5 or free for museum members. 6 o'clock, St. Joseph Museum, 3406 Frederick. You don't need reservations. Come as you are. I think the Lost City of Etzanoa will be one of our most fascinating programs ever.
Yeah, I think that is extremely interesting, and I imagine you will have a good crowd of history buffs in there wanting to see what that's going to be all about. That is going to be awesome. Kathy, one last time before we cut you loose, give the details of how folks get signed up for the trip up to the Amana Colonies and the Pella Tulip time.
You can just call the St. Joseph Museum, 816-232-8471, or just Google St. Joseph Museum, stjosephmuseum.org. And you don't have to spell out St., just ST, go right into josephmuseum.org, click under events, and sign up. You do not need reservations to come see Etzanoa on Thursday night, but if you want to RSVP on the website, you can, or you can sign up for Pella or simply call us.
And that's just the start of things, because you guys have a lot of other cool stuff coming up later on that I'm sure we will talk about as well. Kathy, as always, we appreciate you taking some time out, especially on a day where we got to fight with getting used to daylight savings time and all that jazz. We certainly appreciate you taking time out to visit with us. I hope both of these events are going to be a huge success. It sounds like the Lost Civilization thing Thursday night is going to be awesome. And then, of course, always a cool trip when you go up to the Amana Colonies and Tulip Time. We certainly appreciate you coming on to chat about it today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Kathy Reno, everybody, with the St. Joseph Museums. Sounds like a really cool trip up to the Amana Colonies and Tulip Time. That's May 1st and 2nd. You need to get there to the website or give them a call. Get your reservations made. Last year, she said they had a waiting list on this thing. That's how popular this trip is, so don't waste time. Certainly get a hold of them and get your reservations made. And, man, that deal tomorrow or Thursday night there at 6 o'clock at the museums on that Lost Civilization in Kansas. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I know I'll mess it up. But that sounds like a fascinating event, and I might have to head over there myself. That's going to be pretty cool. I always like that kind of stuff in history. That'll do it for us here on The Breakfast Club. Stay tuned. We got more Will Hightonwall, more classic rock favorites all coming up next.